Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, he was good though, man. He was.
He's an All Pro twice.
Yeah, yeah, for sure he was. All right, you ready to go?
I am, sir.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
All right, and we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about AJ versus Deontay Wilder. Will this fight happen? We'll let you know. Rumor has it, it might be next. But first, we're going to get started with the pay-per-view this weekend. Deed, this was on pay-per-view. Regis Prograis versus Jose Zepeda. Regis Prograis knocked out Jose Zepeda in the 11th round to win the 140-pound WBC title. Prograis dominated this fight, man. He was just quicker. He was able to outbox Zepeda all night long. When I think of Regis Prograis, when I watch him, the power always impresses me, Beebe, because it's such an afterthought with him. You know, I look at him and you almost forget about the power because he boxes so well. Like, how could this guy – you never really see both of those. And he's got the power. He boxes so well. And I'll be honest, man, I have no idea why it took Prograis so long to get back in the title picture. He had to hang his management, I'll tell you that. But I tell you what, I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's in the picture. But he's been out. I mean, like I said, with the, like he's not real recognizable out there anymore. So he needed to get this title shot. Why it took him so long – I mean, your guess is as good as mine. He needs to get new management, new promoters, new something, because he's a star.
Yeah, this was a very one-sided fight. Even though, you know, Zepeda landed a good shot here and there, and we saw Prograis' face marked up at the end of the fight, it didn't really look like he was being hit an awful lot in this fight. Every now and then, like I said, he could hit with a good shot. But the beautiful thing about Prograis is, like you said, he's a slick southpaw. He's a phenomenal counterpuncher, but he's got like a missile for a left hand. And I was talking to D-Style earlier today, and one point that he made was how he varies up the way he throws that left hand. So it's coming from a variety of different ways. He'll loop it, he'll come up underneath, shovel it, straight right down the pike. And, you know, you just don't know, you know, from what angle it's coming from. And even him with his subtle movement. And another beautiful thing I love about Regis Prograis is every time he makes an offensive move, it's simultaneously a defensive move at the same time. We say, Beebe, what's that mean? Every time he throws a punch, he's always moving his head and his shoulders off to the side. He's always positioning himself to evade the oncoming offense from his opponent while he's throwing a punch. So he never keeps his head center line. He's always moving his head, always stepping off to the side after a punch. He's just a very versatile, fluid, very athletic, talented fighter. He's got it all. He's like a Pernell Whitaker with power. You know, it's amazing how good this guy is. I say this all the time. Not everyone agrees with me. Maybe I think B-Styles is the only person that agrees with me. I had him beating Josh Taylor. I loved how he came back in that fight. I love how he actually stayed in the pocket and was, going chest to chest with Taylor in that fight. And he bit down on his mouthpiece and he actually fought him on Taylor's terms towards the end of that fight. I think it caught Taylor off guard a little bit, but close fight, could have gone either way. But to me, Prograis is the best fighter in this division. Now, obviously, Taylor is the man. He's the lineal guy, even though he got stripped. And for Prograis to officially hold that, you know, the number one guy spot, he'd have to go back and beat Taylor. But this is what you love about guys like Prograis. What does he do immediately after the fight? I want Taylor next, right? He's not going to sit there and take soft defenses and and make easy money because he's the champ now. He has a willingness to want to fight the top guy, and you've got to take your hat off to him for that.
And Josh Taylor, who we think is number one in that division right now, is going to face Jack Catterall in February. Beeb, and that's a fight that he dropped titles to get. That's a fight that Josh Taylor pursued after beating Catterall. And I had him winning fairly easily. I think it was 116-112 I had him. I mean, it wasn't close. That being said, a lot of people had Catterall winning that fight. They thought he won the fight.
I think you had it 114-111 because there was knockdowns in the fight.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I think you had it like Andre Ward. You had it. I think you had it like 8-4 or something like that. Yeah, you had it 8-4. I had Catterall winning by a point. So I don't have a problem with Josh Taylor getting that decision. I don't understand why there was such an outcry that Josh Taylor won that fight. Because it was a razor close fight.
It was a close fight. I mean, that was real close fight.
Yeah, so it is what it is, man. I think both guys are doing the right thing. Josh Taylor could have swerved Catterall, but, he's listening to the criticism. So he wants to silence these people who think he lost that fight. And you can't blame him.
Let me tell you what. He must really want that fight.
Yeah.
If he's dropping belts, and he's saying, I don't care about anything else. I want this guy next, period. End of story. This is happening. And that's where he's going. And you got to respect him for it, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see if Catterall can redo that performance. I don't know what that. I don't know that that was a fluke performance by Catterall. I think he's that good. And that fight, you know.
I'm going to pick Taylor in that rematch. For a couple of reasons, because I didn't like the way Catterall kind of faded. I thought when Taylor got aggressive, he looked uncomfortable. I like how Taylor finished that fight. I thought he came back strong in that fight, and he made the fight close because he was getting away from him, I thought. And then he made the adjustment to become more aggressive, kind of roughhouse a little bit, close the gap and not allow Catterall to move as much. And I think... Because that fight was so close, and I do think that with all due respect, I don't want to take anything away from Catterall. I do think Taylor was a bit off that night. I think he could do better. I'm going to pick Taylor to win, and possibly by stoppage.
Yeah,
I think he may get Catterall out of it this time.
Yeah,
we'll see though.
Anthony Johnson is asking, can Devin beat Regis? Can Devin Haney beat Regis Prograis? I'm going to say yes, but I also think Regis can beat Devin. I think it's a toss-up fight. I really do.
I'm a big Prograis fan.
I am too.
I love the way that guy fights. So, you can't rule Devin Haney out. I mean, Devin Haney's a very skilled guy too. But I would pick Regis. But if you pick Haney, you're not crazy.
I think it could go really either way. They're both that good. They're both that talented.
Yeah.
Anytime you get like two guys that are upper echelon fighters like that. Listen, we're all going to have our favorites, and we're all going to say, hey, this guy wins or this guy wins. But in reality, though, that fight really could go either way.
And here's the beautiful thing about it. That's not a fight that we just have to talk about. Those guys would fight each other.
Yeah, they've fought each other before. You know they'll fight again.
They'll fight each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now let's talk about this undercard a little bit here. The undercard wasn't great. They had some names on them, but nothing too major here. Charles Conwell beat Juan Carlos Abreu by majority decision, 95 all, and then 98-92 and 96-94 for Conwell. Conwell was cutting this fight, and he had a hard time with Abreu, but Abreu's a tough veteran, so, hey, there you go. Fernando Vargas, did I mention Charles Conwell's from Titletown? That's right, Ohio, baby, O-H-I-O. Fernando Vargas Jr. versus Alejandro Martinez Vargas. Vargas Jr. is now 7-0 after he knocks out Martinez in the second round. And in case you're wondering, yes, that is Fernando Vargas Jr. Of Fernando Vargas, the Fernando Vargas. So his kids are now fighting. My God, Beeb, how old are we?
Easy.
We've seen Chavez Jr. come and go. How about that? Amazing.
Crazy.
We're old, Beeb. What are we going to do?
Horrible.
What are we going to do? The next heavyweight big thing, Bakadir Jalalov versus Curtis Hopper. Jalalov wins via fourth round KO over Curtis Hopper. He's from Uzbekistan. He won the gold medal in the Olympics. You've got to watch this guy. This guy is very good. He is a very good fighter, man. No question. All right, let's talk about DAZN here. We had, or actually, let's before we do that, we talk about John Ryder fought, and he fought who did he fight?
Zach Parker.
Zach Parker. I wasn't real interested in
Zach. Zach Parker for the interim WBO super middleweight title.
Yeah.
The winner was more than likely going to get Canelo because Canelo said he wanted another fight before he was to take on Bivol in the rematch. This fight. I thought Parker came out and won the first round, but the second two rounds were kind of nip and tuck close. I got to give Ryder credit, and I've always said this about Ryder. A lot of people don't give him enough credit for the way he moves his head on the way in, his feints, got a good jab. He's not the tallest guy in the world. He doesn't have the longest arm in the world, but he knows how to get close. And he was getting close to Parker, and Parker was trying to do his best by sliding back and using his jab, but I think Parker lost the fourth round, and that, I think that was the round he hurt his hand. And this was a fight where it looked like it was going to shape up to be a good one. It was going to be a competitive one. And like I told you earlier, I've never seen John Ryder in a bad fight. I've never seen anyone blow John Ryder or outclass John Ryder. And I didn't think this was going to be the case in this fight. I picked Zach Parker to win, but I didn't think it was going to be easy. But like John Ryder always does in big fights, he rises to the occasion. And I think, this fight was going to be a good fight. And unfortunately for Zach Parker, he broke his hand and he could not continue. So, this is going to be something.
Listen,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Listen, man, John Ryder is going to fight Canelo next. And he is going to get absolutely dismantled in that fight.
Yeah, I mean, I would favor Canelo, but I don't know, man. Like John Ryder always makes a good account of himself. I you disagree with me on this one, and others do. I think he beat Callum Smith. I had him winning that fight 8-4. The Danny Jacobs fight, I thought Jacobs won, but I think he edged it. I thought I had it 115-113. Was it impossible to give it to Ryder? I don't know. It was one of those fights where it could have gone either way, and nice to see John Ryder finally be on the winning end of a close decision for a change, right? So I wasn't too up in arms about that, but I did think Jacobs won. But once again, anyway, my scorecards aren't etched in stone. But I think this Ryder fight could end up being a good fight with Canelo. Obviously, it's not the fight that we really want. I want the David Benavidez fight more than anything. The Bivol fight, I don't think it's needed, to be honest with you. He wants it, but I don't think it's needed. But if this is the consolation prize, then I don't love it, but I don't hate it either, It's not filet mignon, but then again, it's not chopped liver either. It's kind of like maybe a Wendy's hamburger. Put it right in that class.
Like a Wendy's hamburger.
Yeah. If I gave you a Wendy's hamburger, you wouldn't scoff at it. You would eat it.
I would eat it. Yeah. Why not?
But if I gave you chopped liver, you'd probably throw it in the garbage disposal.
I like liver. Oh no. Put gravy on it. Good.
Stop being a contrarian. Well, go ahead.
Shout out to Manny Gatillo, member for 31 months, premium member. Shout out, baby. He says, how about them Buckeyes? Oh, they choked. Oh, they blow. All right. Yes, they lost. They lost big, too, man. They lost big to Michigan. Michigan put it on them this year.
Great.
It was the second year in a row they did that, man. They go in there, big, like, number two team in the nation, go in there and lay an egg. What are you guys doing?
Crazy.
UC's out of the title picture. Like, man. The only people in it? The Bengals, son. That's right, another win today, heading back to the Super Bowl.
The Bengals.
Oh, Maestro getting on the bandwagon. How about the Wolverines? I used to live in Detroit, so I don't get I like the Wolverines, too. They're not bad. There you go. All right. So let's see here. Dillian White. Let's get to this fight. Dillian White versus Jermaine Franklin. Dillian White wins a majority decision over Jermaine Franklin, 114-114, overruled 116-112 twice for Dillian White. With the win, White moves toward another showdown with Anthony Joshua in a fight that absolutely nobody wants to see. Beeb.
Well, you know, Jermaine Franklin was complaining after the fight. He thought he won the fight clear. I had it a draw. I had it, you know, but here's the thing, man. Dillian White did not look great in this fight. I'll be honest with you. But you can't lose the last three rounds in your opponent's backyard. You can't think that it's an automatic win for you. Like I said, I thought White didn't look the greatest here. I think he was trying to throw one punch at a time. Like he always does. I've never been really crazy about Dillian White. I mean, obviously he's a dangerous puncher. He can go to the body. But I never thought he was a fluid puncher. I thought he loaded up and telegraphed. I think he loads up and telegraphs a lot of his shots. He was having problems with the head movement of Franklin. Franklin hurt him one time with a good right hand, but Franklin doesn't have a lot of pop, you know? He doesn't have a lot of pop. But like I said, you can't lose the last three rounds and complain about the decision after the fight. But I did have it a draw. You know, if I flip rounds 1 and 8 to White, 116 and 112, not impossible for White, you know? But White did not look good. Franklin definitely overachieved here. He impressed me. But like I said, you know, you gotta finish strong when you're away from home.
So, there you go. Florian Sightgrace, thank you so much, man. He says, love the show as always. Shout out from Switzerland. Love it, man. Thank you so much. He's been a long-time listener right there.
Yes. Shout out to him, man.
Louis Reyes says, hey, Eric, there's a woman's bout on last night. Was there? Oh, on the ProGrace card? I might have went to the John for that one. Yeah, I missed it. I'm sorry, guys. Maybe you go look at the record. Go look it up if you can find that news anywhere. There you go. All right. And was there anything else? There wasn't anything real interesting on the Dillian White undercard, was there?
Nah, was it? Oh, the Nathan Gorman fight was fucking phenomenal. That was a beautiful fucking knockout. Nathan Gorman got knocked out. That was a fucking really good fight. That was an awesome fight. I thought Gorman was going to win that fight. I really did, but. Yeah, he got stopped. That was like a back and forth battle, a lot of knockdowns, you know. But that was a good like Wardley, Fabio Wardley, man, that dude, he got hurt, he got his nose busted like right here, and you know the blood was coming, but then right after that he saw the blood and he's like, you know, landed a big right hand on Nathan Gorman, went down a couple times. And, yeah, that was an awesome fight for the British title, man. That was a really good fight.
There you go.
That was a really good fight.
There you go. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights. That was it for this weekend. So let's talk about the upcoming fights, the stuff that's coming up here. Let's see. December 3rd in London. Beeb, I haven't heard anything about this fight. It has not had any advertising. I don't know anything about it. Tyson Fury versus Derek Chisora. How bad is the fight? So bad that I'm on ESPN's site right now on the schedule, and it doesn't have a TV listing for December 3rd in London. Now, Beavis told me that's going to be on ESPN, but typically they put ESPN on there. I don't, you know, I would imagine they're going to carry the fight, but look, I don't know.
It's ESPN. I think it's ESPN Plus, if I'm not mistaken. I got to double. Let me see if I can double check the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm looking.
Oh, actually, on the schedule, the TV says TVA on it. But I'm guessing it's going to be on ESPN or ESPN Plus. But it's actually not official yet.
Yeah. So
it's not official where it's going to be.
Right. And I mean, I imagine somebody's going to pick it up. But yeah. So Tyson Fury versus Derek Chisora, 12 rounds for Fury's lineal and WBC heavyweight title. This is the third time they fought. And in case you're wondering, Tyson Fury won both of them, the second one by knockout. Wasn't by knockout the second one? Did he knock him out in the second one?
Not stopped them in the second one, yes.
And the first one was like 116, 112-ish. So what unanswered questions do we have in this third fight here? None.
Well, he's doing Derek Chisora a solid, giving him a payday, man.
Hey, that's about all he's doing, I tell you what, because that fight is like the drizzling you-know-what. Nobody wants to see that fight.
Nobody wants to see it.
No.
No one's excited for it, and there's no buzz for it. So,
On the undercard, Daniel Dubois, isn't that the guy who quit against Joe Joyce? Isn't
Stop
that
saying
him?
That, stop saying that. Come on.
I'm just saying, I don't remember who he is. So I've got to like, hey, who is he?
He's a WBA regular heavyweight champion.
He's the one that quit against Joe Joyce, right? We're thinking the same dude?
He was the guy that made you take the pie in the face that day.
The guy who quit. Now I remember him.
And you've never forgiven him since. That's who that guy is.
Yes. He's fighting Kevin Lorena. 12 rounds for Dubois' WBA regular heavyweight title. Yvonne Mendy versus Dennis Baranchek. 12 rounds lightweights. And that's about it. I don't mind. I'll tell you what. I don't mind the undercard. I don't mind Daniel Dubois, and I don't mind Yvonne Mendy and Dennis Baranchek. I don't mind it. I'll watch.
It's okay.
I'll watch.
Not horrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay for it. But, yeah, if it's free, I'll check it out. December 3rd, on the zone from Glendale, Arizona, Beeb. The big one, Juan Francisco Estrada versus Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez, 12 rounds for Estrada's WBC franchise title. I didn't think you could put franchise titles on there, on the line, but apparently the WBC just lets everybody, it's like the Wild West of the boxing world.
They changed that. They have changed that whole designation like 10 times. First it was non-transferable, now it's transferable. Now, first it wasn't a real title. Now it's comparable to the WBA super title. I mean,
I don't understand.
What's going on?
Notorious says Eric Beth Chalk then gets mad when he loses. Doesn't everybody get mad when they lose?
Yeah, but
show me a happy loser. You know what I'm saying? I'll show you a loser.
I think Dubois was a 3-1 favorite in that fight.
I think he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
he was a big favorite.
He went in there and got wrecked.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't give Joyce a lot of credit in that fight. I didn't think he was going to win that fight.
Yeah, Maestro said it's tough to compete with college football this time of year on ESPN. You're right. And I think the December 10th, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the Heisman show on December 10th because they always have a top-ranked show after that. And
Teo's fighting that weekend.
Teofimo versus Sandor. And then the main event on that card was Jared Anderson from Ohio. He's fighting Jerry Forrest. So that's the main event. And then they got Teo in the co-main, which is good. Because he always puts Ohio fighters on top, which is that's why we love
him. He does.
That's why we love Bob.
You can't get mad at him for that.
No, why would you? And then coming up, that's going to be on the 10th. And then also that the 10th is huge. The 10th has got Michael Collins on there on ESPN+. Let's see what else. Terrence Crawford, Josh Warrington versus Luis Alberto Lopez is fighting. And then the following Tuesday or Wednesday, I think it's a Tuesday. Naoya Inoue is fighting Paul Butler, and that's going to be on ESPN Plus, and that's our favorite because that's in the morning, man. And
watching that fight,
beautiful. Can't wait. That I was looking at that December 10th, that Nebraska card, where Terrence Crawford, the Omaha card, the Black Prime.
That card.
Terrence Crawford versus David Avanesian, and number one, I wouldn't pay for it anyway. But that undercard they got going on is awful. I mean, awful. I don't know how anybody – how much is that fight? Like $60, you said?
I think so. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, that fight last night, like I told you, Prograis and Zepeda, it was on ESPN the next day.
Was it really?
Yeah, and then everyone was like, you know – everyone was streaming that fight.
Yeah.
No one bought that fight. You know what I mean? So I don't know how they can continue to put these fights. I know they can't get dates for some of them, but how could no one have bought that? Like, how could no one wanted to broadcast that Zepeda Prograis fight yesterday? Like, how could they not?
Why would that not be on ESPN? That's a
yeah. Why would it not be on ESPN or someplace? I just don't get it, bro.
Thank you so much, D Style. We appreciate it, man. Thank you, brother. Maestro brought up a good point too. He said, with all the football and everything like that, that's pretty much it. You know, that does take up a lot, you know, especially with scheduling, because that's, listen, football beats boxing any day of the week as far as the ratings go.
Yeah.
No question about it. That's why they're all jockeying for the football games. But I'm looking at that Terrence Crawford card and then that undercard. It is awful, man. I know, I have trouble that the fight is on pay-per-view anyway, but I wouldn't advise anybody to pay for this. It's terrible.
Or,
you know,
wonder if Robbie paid for that pay-per-view yesterday.
Oh, you know, we did. Maestro said there's also a World Cup right now, too. That's right. U.S. unbeaten in the they haven't lost yet. They haven't lost yet. They're going to advance if they win. They beat Iran Tuesday. So there you go. Prograis has fought on the zone, too. You know what I thought about? I was like, well, why doesn't Terrence Crawford fight Josh Taylor? You know, because Taylor could move up. That could be a mega fight right there, right? A huge fight. Put it in Glasgow or whatever. Huge fight. I forgot. He's not with Top Rank anymore, so he burned that bridge down.
Bob would still work with him. I think Bob would still work with him.
I think he would, too. All right, let's go to the phones here. Robert, 530. You're live.
Did you buy that pay-per-view yesterday?
Yeah, you did.
No, I did not, Joe. No, I did not.
Fucking liar. You're a liar.
You're
a liar. Tara told me you bought it. She was fighting with you, but you made her take the pot of the rent money, and you had to buy the pay per view with that.
I did not pay for that. Give me a break.
You can't see one of your subscriptions to OnlyFans, and you bought that.
Oh, give me a break, Eric. He's on a roll again today, isn't he?
He's on a roll, man. He's on a roll, son.
Yeah. No.
So what fights did you watch yesterday, Robert?
The only two fights I
watched yesterday, Robert.
The only two fight cards I watched was the ESPN Plus card with Zach Parker and John Ryder, and the DAZN card with Dillian White.
Are you going to watch the Terrence Crawford card? The Terrence Crawford pay-per-view?
No. Nope. Because on the 10th,
wow,
there's
a hard
too much.
Robert.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a lot. Robert, what did you think of that Zach Parker fight? How did you think that fight was kind of playing out?
I wish it would have continued. I thought it was going to be an interesting fight. You know, I hope, and I know this won't happen now, but I hope Parker gets a rematch because that was proving to be a very interesting fight.
Do you think Parker was winning that fight, or who'd you have winning that fight?
No, you think it was really close? After four rounds, I had it 2-2.
I just want to make sure because I thought it was close.
I want to see them fight again. I don't know if it'll happen because I think it was starting to become a very interesting fight. Eric, I'm sorry you didn't have any interest in that because both Zach Parker and John Ryder are good fighters.
Cheers. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter because he's going to get run over by Canelo, so there you go.
Well, they're both going to get run over.
How do you care what Eric likes, Robert? Worry about what you like.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what Eric likes. Worry about what you like. Are you the type of person you go out to lunch? Are you going to go out to lunch with Eric and you're going to tell him what he can order too?
Right.
You don't make decisions.
Tell
you
to order meals. I don't want the meals. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm tired of you stepping on Eric every week.
Joe, my God.
That's my partner. You don't disrespect my partner like that.
That's
Joe,
right.
give me a break. I'm giving Eric a bad time. That's all. I thought that was proven to be a very interesting fight, and I hope they can rematch it one day. And Joe,
for what?
Joe, I agree.
For what? Who wants to see that rematch, son?
Oh,
come on! Nobody wants
break.
To see that. Nobody wants
Joe,
to see that.
I happen to agree with you. I also scored the Dillian White fight a draw, and Dillian White did not look good yesterday. Had he been in there with a decent heavyweight that knew how to take advantage of situations, I think Dillian White could have lost yesterday.
Harvey, stop copying and pasting my scorecard. Did you really score it a draw?
Yes, I did. Hey, you and I watched the Daniel Jacobs, John Ryder fight. We came up with the same score, and we weren't watching it together. You even commented on that
every round after that fight, I was texting you my score. I think you copy and pasted it.
No, I don't copy and paste people's scorecards. I knew my own.
Okay.
So, anyway, but those are the two cards I watched yesterday. And, you know, Regis Prograis, he's with ProBellum, and ProBellum does not have a TV deal in the U.S. That's one of the that's one of the reasons why this fight was put on Fight TV pay-per-view.
Why would you sign with them?
How in the world could he not get a deal with Top Rank or fucking anybody in the, like, Golden Boy or fucking Eddie Hearn? How could no one sign this guy? How does that happen?
And Regis Prograis is a very good fighter. It's a shame that he's with a promoter that apparently nobody wants to deal with. You know?
And then he was with Lou DiBella, another guy with all due respect who doesn't have a TV deal.
That's right.
I don't get, like, he's too good to be signed to a promoter that doesn't have a TV deal.
No. I mean, you've got to sign with somebody that has a TV deal, so when you have fights, you're not stuck on a lousy pay-per-view. Obviously Prograis won from what you guys said, but that had the potential to be a good fight, and I guess it didn't turn out to be a good fight because Regis is very good, but it's just a shame that it didn't get more exposure on a normal outlet for, boxing.
Robert, why didn't you go on YouTube and watch it? Like, why didn't you go on your iPhone and search for the fight, and you could have watched it afterwards?
Allegedly.
I could have, but I had other things I had to do, Beeb, and I hadn't had a chance to look it up yet.
Oh, like you're the social butterfly. Your calendar's always filled to the rim. Cut it out. Herrick told me you were lying around the house all day today, eating donuts with whipped cream on them. Stop lying.
Whipped cream on
them. Okay, Eric, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. He's out of control today.
This is the Beeb. He is out of control. All right, Robert, thank you for calling in. Beeb, what's the matter with you? Running guests off? What's the matter with you?
He's a fraud.
He said Robbie had to watch the show, Joey Phelps, on OnlyFans, putting out videos. I don't know. Is she putting out videos on OnlyFans?
I don't know what she's doing, man. I am not subscribing to that. That's not something I want to look at.
No, I mean, I don't know. She's all right. I'm not going to pay for her, you know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
I don't know. I'm not feeling it, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that laugh that kills it. Imagine her during, I don't want to say it.
Oh, no, you look at you going there. What's the matter
that
with
laugh. That laugh. That laugh.
Why would she laugh? Why would she laugh at you if you were in bed with her? I guess when you come, I guess when she sees
every,
it, you know,
every
back up.
Every 3 seconds, she's laughing. It's a disorder. Has nothing to do with the beef pool. Don't even go there.
I'm just saying. I'm just asking questions. You know what I mean?
Please.
Just asking questions. Speaking of Beeb, speaking of the OnlyFans, I got another guy. Listen, because this is how Title Town runs things, baby. Adrian Broner, you guys missed him. Our train wreck of the week is back. Adrian Broner apparently has to stop doing OnlyFans in lieu of the pay-per-view deal with Black Prime. So apparently Broner has been showing videos of himself and maybe others involved in sexual activity on his OnlyFans channel. He charges $50 a month. So in short, he's been doing porn to make ends meet. Just when I think that this guy, Beeb, you got to help me with this, man, because just when I think this guy couldn't get any dumber, just when I think this guy just couldn't make any more bad decisions, he surprises me and completely redeems himself with this. This is awesome, Beeb. This is awesome. He was doing porn to make ends meet. But all of a sudden, Black Prime, I guess apparently they got a conscience now. So he signed a four-fight deal. He's got to lay off the porn until after those four fights, and then he can go back. Beeb, what are your thoughts on this? Title town, son.
I mean, here's the thing, man. Anytime someone does something for fast cash, there's always long-term consequences.
Like right? What?
These girls and all these people that are on OnlyFans, right? And they think they're doing something great. You're just not going to be respected. You know, whether people are going to see you, they're going to laugh at you. You know, anytime you do something like that, you're just not going to be respected. And for a guy to do that, it's even worse.
That's really short-sighted, Beeb. I think number one, I think that's really short-sighted.
I mean, you want to make money, right? And you want to, you know, make that quick cash. But you're always going to like look at these porn stars 10 years later after they get out of the business of, you know,
and like
they,
that Carrera chick.
They all regret it. They all regret it because then you try to do something else and people will remember what you did before and your past never goes away. Never goes away. So your kids are gonna go on the internet one day and they're gonna see daddy on the internet having sex with all these girls and stuff. Is that what you want your kids to be? You know, your kids to see that? You want your kids gonna be proud of you for that?
Some people have to make a living, Beeb. It's great that you could just run over Adrian Bronner for his choices in life. But you know, yeah, okay. Why, how do you begrudge a man? Isn't that what you said? I don't ever knock a guy's hustle. Wasn't that what you said? I believe it was.
You can't always listen to everything I say. I said, you know, I'm like the Bible. You can't take me literally. All right?
Michael O'Brien. This is his question, not mine. Michael O'Brien wants to know, is Beeb going to do OnlyFans?
Never.
Why he wants to know that? I don't know. But
never.
Never?
Never.
Never?
Never, ever, ever.
What is that girl you like, Tina Carrera or Asia Carrera or what was her name?
Asia Carrera.
Is that, yep. That's that 80s porn chick or whatever?
90s, come on.
So, I think she was probably 80s. She looks like she was in the 80s, son.
Come on.
I'm just saying, you know. So if she offered you, if she says, you know what, I want to make a movie with the right person, and Joe, I think you're that right person. This is your dream.
No, I would never do it, man.
You would never do it? What if she says we just tape it, but it'll never see the light of day?
Can't trust any girl that says that.
Wow. So you wouldn't even trust her? Wow. That's
never.
Wow.
Never.
Wow.
Never do it. Can't ever do it.
JC says watching Mexican weather chicks is better than OnlyFans. Tell you what, he's not wrong. Those Mexican weather girls on the Mexican stations, not all.
Why am I going to subscribe to an OnlyFans account when I could just go on xvideos.com?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, like who's, I mean, like, is there anybody worthwhile on there? I mean, that you have to pay for? I mean, like, I couldn't imagine going to OnlyFans and paying.
Are you on Snapchat?
Yeah.
There's girls that will sit there and they will send you like links of themselves. Like they'll give you like little video snippets and show like of them like with bikinis on or they'll,
right.
All this stuff. And all they do all day is try to get guys to subscribe to their OnlyFans, bro. You know, and here's the thing. You have this big feminist movement out there, right? Oh, all men do is objectify women, blah, blah. They do it to themselves. They do it to themselves. Go on these girls' Instagrams.
The views of Joe Habib are his own, not necessarily reflect the Ringside Reporter.
How do they expect men to respect them? Now, again, you're getting the attention that you want. That's fine.
What's the matter with you?
But you're never going to be respected. The way it is. You'll only be used for recreational use only.
Oh, come on.
You're never going to get wifed up. Nothing's, no one's going to put a ring on your finger. Right? You're always going to be one of many. You're never going to be that one. And girls want to be that one.
I said that to Lisa a couple of weeks ago. I was like, that's why I wifed you. And turns out it's not the compliment you think it would be, you know?
There's an old saying, a good key can open many locks, but a lock that can be opened by any key is not a good lock.
Remember that. You're blowing
here. No one wants a girl that's been run through.
That is very crass. Extremely crass. What's the matter with you?
That's right.
Yeah, you're
the
like
top G.
Andrew
the top G.
Tate. The top G.
The top G.
T-Style says these views don't necessarily reflect the views of the round table either.
Yes, they do. I've talked to the producer on the round table. He shares my views.
All right. Zelani Tete is facing Beeb a 4-year ban. He tested positive for a substance on the banned list. The problem is nobody knows what that substance is yet. They're waiting on the B sample, I guess. The B sample is going to come out the same as this one. I would really doubt there was a mistake. But he's facing up to a 4-year ban. B, does he get a 4-year ban?
No, I don't think he gets a 4-year ban. And I'll tell you why. Because of what's going on with Connor Bed, how they're handling that one with such kid gloves.
Yeah.
So they can't turn around and give this guy the maximum when there's – like, I think what they'll do is they'll probably suspend him pending an investigation. But I'm going to say no.
He's not getting four years. And what was the question you asked me? Why did Connor Ben, you know, what's going on with him as far as like?
Yeah, why did everyone blow that? Like, you heard that story for like 6 weeks, almost 2 months.
You know why?
No one's talking about this.
Who knows who Zelani, aside from us, who knows who Zelani Tete is? I mean, realistically, aside from hardcore boxing fans, who knows? Nobody. So nobody cares. You know what I mean?
I don't want to demean the guy, but yeah, I mean, it is what it is, man.
I mean, who's it? They had Jerwin Anacajas, I think it was, when he was he first had the title or whatever. He was fighting in the Philippines in high schools. He was fighting. This is the world champion, son, fighting in a high school. Right?
It's like backyard wrestling.
Yeah, you know, like, man, come on, man. All right, so this just came across. This is actually from World Boxing News. Deontay Wilder's manager, Shelley Finkel, has declared that Wilder now wants the Anthony Joshua fight next. He said, we have the WBC final eliminator with Andy Ruiz, but we want the Joshua fight. Deontay wants that fight next. Let's make a deal and do the fight. He also went on to say that he says he doesn't want to warm up before that because if he warms up against Dillian Whyte and it doesn't look good, then that fight may not be the greatest fight. Let me tell you what, Deontay Wilder has now called Anthony Joshua out, but I'll tell you, here's the deal, man. He's not fighting him next. There's no way. Listen, if Joshua wouldn't fight Tyson Fury next, what makes you think he's going to go and fight Wilder next? Son, he ain't taking that fight.
They need to give him a confidence builder fight.
They said he would take that fight in England. He would take that fight in the Middle East, wherever he wants to fight. I view it kind of like almost like a cash out for Wilder or Joshua. Because if Wilder loses it, he's going to be gone. You know what I mean? He's not
coming. You know, that could be monetarily the biggest fight in the heavyweight division.
I think it's bigger than Usyk.
Yeah. And I really do.
Yeah.
Because Deontay Wilder is gotten some popularity here in America. He's very well known in the UK. And Joshua, you know, speaks for himself, right?
Yeah.
So you have two big names, whereas with all due respect to Usyk, he's not really well-known. He's not a household name. He's not a crossover star. Deontay Wilder, with those three fights with Fury, became a crossover star. He really did. And especially after that third fight, like a lot of people were like very impressed with that fight. Even though he didn't win, the way he went out on the shield like that, that's the biggest money fight in the heavyweight division. And here's the thing, man.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Like you just said, you know, is it a cash-out fight? Maybe, but here's the thing. What if either one of these guys loses in the interim while they're waiting to fight each other? Because I mean, I feel comfortable in saying that Joshua would probably be Dillian White. But what if Dillian White lands something big and gets him out of there? I mean, it's not impossible that he can't land a big shot. So why not fight Wilder, which you're also could land a big shot, but for substantially more money? It's just a no-brainer. But, you know, Eddie Hearn may be saying to himself, you know, he's just coming off two losses. Maybe his confidence isn't there. Maybe we need to tune up first. It's very possible that we could get that fight. It's very possible we could get that. Again, you got to – if you put – look what the numbers Wilder did with Fury.
Yeah.
I mean, again, when you put two guys together, it's not about what one guy does separately. There are rare fighters like Canelo and Joshua that can do decent numbers separately. But how long is that going to last? But when you put two guys together, this event is a huge event. Not just because of Joshua, because of Wilder too.
Kale brought up a good point. He says, you know, Wilder's not a star with 75,000 pay-per-view. I get you. I understand where you're coming from, but he is a star. That's number one. Number two is, like you said, very few people. Canelo, you know, he can carry a card by himself. You know, he's going to carry that John Ryder card by himself, you know.
Listen, if Floyd Mayweather was fighting today, he wouldn't be doing the same pay-per-view numbers he did when he was fighting.
No. It's a different animal now because some of these fights are on now pay-per-view, and then there's so many ways to watch them without watching them on pay-per-view. You know what I mean? You can stream them. There's a whole bunch of that stuff going on. So I'll tell you what, and, you know, those numbers are going to continue to dwindle. You know, if it's AJ versus Wilder, I'll pay for that. But – the Regis Progress fight, I'm not paying for that. I'm not paying $60 for that. I'm not paying $70 for the what's his face to fight on Terrence Crawford.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not paying for that.
Even,
fight. It's for the pay-per-view fight.
Even Canelo's numbers went down. Like that Golovkin fight, it wasn't as big as the other two.
No,
you know what I mean?
Pay-per-view.
Yeah, no one's gonna do big numbers anymore, man. Not in the United States, bro. Because it's just Americans don't buy pay-per-views anymore. They stream everything, bro. And then now they're putting fights on YouTube.
TikTok's got them. YouTube's got them. Twitter's got them. I mean,
they're putting these fights everywhere. They are showing these fights.
Yeah, they're just live streaming them
everywhere.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view is a dying breed. So let's just use a little common sense here, man. If you're like if Eric can watch that Progress fight on TikTok. And I'm watching it on YouTube.
Allegedly.
That's a problem, guys. That's a problem for the market. That's a problem. So let's just be – but I'll tell you this. That Wilder-Joshua fight is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. I hate saying this because I'm not a big fan of putting fights in the Middle East. But imagine what a Middle Eastern country would do. Like Saudi Arabia or something like that would do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem with fights being in Dubai or whatever, but I don't like the whole Saudi Arabia situation. So I'm not, you know, that's just me. But
what did you hear about like Qatar and what they've done in the World Cup?
With the
rainbow flags and everything like that. They've been compensating those. Like, what are you guys doing over there? Then the alcohol thing, Budweiser sent all that beer over, all that advertising money. And now they can't drink over there.
It's crazy. But I mean, Saudi would pay a shit ton of money for that.
For sure they would. And I don't know. I'll tell you what, man. That's a good fight. That's a pay-per-view type fight. I would pay for that fight. Would you pay for that fight? Yeah. I totally pay for that fight.
Yeah. If Wilder fought in the UK and his fights are being broadcast on Sky, or his fights are being broadcast on BT, I think his pay-per-view numbers would be a lot better than they would be here. Because you guys buy pay-per-views, we don't. It's a again, it's just a different market. It's a different market.
Aren't the pay-per-views cheaper in England?
Yeah, they're like $30.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't mind paying that. I wouldn't mind paying that. I just, you know why I like DAZN? Because they were going to pay a subscription, and they were going to put the big fights on there. And that has now went by the wayside.
If Wilder had a deal with Sky, and he fought like guys like White, or he was fighting guys like Joe Joyce or Daniel Dubois, and he was fighting exclusively over there, he would do good numbers.
Yeah.
Because you guys can't compare your market to our market. It's like night and day.
Totally different.
Night and day, bro. We don't buy paper. We're the worst boxing fans in the world, bro. You guys are the best, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure. No question about
guys,
it.
I've said it for years. You guys are by far the best boxing fans in the world. Your guys lose, and you still support them. We suck over here. We're always throwing people in the recycle bin over here. We don't give our fighters the credit that I do, but the majority of fans over here, they don't. Go online and listen to all these people talk about the boxes and how they're this, that, and the third, and this guy's trash, this guy's that. And it's horrible. Joshua just lost two fights back-to-back. You guys still love him. Ricky Hatton lost to Mayweather and Pacquiao. You still love him. Frank Bruno lost numerous amount of times. You guys still love him. Lennox Lewis got knocked out twice. You guys still love him. Guys are the best fans in the world.
They definitely back their fighters, that's for sure.
No question.
That is for sure. All right, guys, listen, man, that's it. It is a slow week of boxing, and December is always slow. Now it'll pick up next week. It'll pick up next week, and it'll pick up the week after on the 10th. But after that, it's going to die out again. But, hey, we'll be here. So
let's hope next year we get some of these fights that we were hoping to get this year.
Just awful. I mean, it's, like I said, I mean, we've got, like, did you think – I mean, I thought for sure, like, Spence Crawford was going to take place this year. I thought for sure.
I was very skeptical of it because I can't stand it. I mean, the way the PBC does business drives me up a wall.
It's terrible, right?
I can't ignore their track record, bro.
Crazy.
I wish I could tell you, I believe that, but I don't know. I don't think this Tank Ryan Garcia fight is happening either. I think that's a bunch of crock. But
no,
we'll see.
No way. They said so on Instagram. They got to be telling the truth. They confirmed it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times does it not happen if they confirmed it on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
It's always happening.
You're right. I agree.
Black Wamba says Thurman was always the plan for Spence. 100%. I 100% believe that. I 100% believe that.
Thurman's going to get destroyed in that fight.
You know what? And I'm going to be happy to watch that because I'm not a big fan of Keith Thurman.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Keith Thurman.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about him because, he pulls a lot of stupid things. Like, he didn't want to fight Spence when Spence was the up-and-comer. He's like, well, what's he bring to the table? Blah, blah, blah. Well, now he's begging to fight Spence. How about that? But definitely not the fight we wanted to see. But I have a feeling, I think you're right. I think that, and why didn't, Terrence Crawford didn't sign with PBC, but I got a feeling if he did sign with PBC, it wouldn't have mattered. He still wouldn't have got anything out of this.
You got Tank fighting in January. Then you got Garcia probably fighting in February, January or February too, right? Yeah. So then you're saying, oh, we're going to fight next year, right? Like, what do you think? You just snap your fingers and Vegas is going to have a casino already ready for you? They're going to, like, hold the casino like it's, you got to reserve the casino. Like, they don't have a date or a venue, right? And supposedly they're supposed to be fighting in this summertime or whatever.
And there's always stuff going on. You know what I mean?
There's
like
always shit going. Like, how is this gonna happen if you don't even have a date?
He doesn't even have it lined up. Yeah, I'm looking at his box right now. It's not even lined up.
Not even lined up.
Not even lined up.
So how are you gonna put this fight together? Both of them are doing this to promote their own fights.
Well, and I tell you what, man, and De La Hoya has dropped the ball on every big fight that I can think of. You know what I mean? He's always dropping the ball here. So, yeah, man, I don't have a lot of hope for it. Hopefully, like I said, I mean, hopefully it happens. Hopefully the Spence fight happens, but yeah.
I don't think it's happening, bro.
That Spence fight is actually going past. You think it's going past its expiration date here?
Look how old they are, man. They're getting up there.
How old is 36 for Crawford, right?
It's going to be 36. I think Spence is going to be like 34 or some shit like that.
Is he really?
Yeah. I think they're maybe 33. 30, I think it'll be 33, 34, something like that. I think they're 3 years apart. Yeah,
he's 32. Spence is 32, yeah.
Crawford's what, 35? So they've got 3 years of
Crawford's 35, yeah.
Yeah, so they're gonna be 33 and 36 by the time they fight.
Well, he turns 36 in September. So yeah, I mean he's got about a year left, I think.
Yeah.
You know, where he's topping like top notch, you know. But yeah, man, that's crazy, man. Craziness.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, man. We'll see. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at JHabib1. You can catch me on Twitter at Ringside73. And of course, you can catch our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com.
And the roundtable this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, will be on my channel.
There you go.
Sorry.
Yes, absolutely. No, that was good. That was good. I like that. All right, guys. Take care. We'll see you next week.